listening.
We're DJC, KB4CBA. How you doing, Jerry?
Good morning, David. How you doing? That's the main thing.
Doing good. I'm back out running around creating havoc in the world. Oh, me. Doctor cut me loose Saturday, and my wife, of course, she got it, but she got pneumonia with hers, but so she's still getting over it. But I think she's will be she won't be contagious after tomorrow, so but she's still kind of weak.
That pneumonia, it weakens you no matter what the cause. Has she taken the two pneumonia vaccines, by the way?
I don't think she has, but they, of course they gave her an antibiotic for it. She's had pneumonia before, which makes you more susceptible to it.
After we recommend her get them, we've had both of them. You take one and you have to wait, I think, about a year before you take the second one. It's two various strains of bacteria, and we both had ours, but you know, they recommend that for older folks anyway. But I know my mother had pneumonia. Of course, she was very old when she had hers, and she had spent about 10 days in the hospital. But she had not had a pneumonia vaccine. They weren't giving them out. It's been probably 15 years ago, I guess, now. But they weren't giving out vaccines like they are now. Pneumovax and Prevnar and Pneumovax, I think, are the two pneumonia vaccines. But I think it covers about 20 strains of bacteria, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't. That don't mean it covers all of them. I'm sure there are other strains as well.
And there's bacterial pneumonia, and there's viral pneumonia too. So I don't know if it covers all that. But anyway, I haven't even asked her about that. Well, what are you up to today? I'm picking up some more drugs here at the hospital. Don't have a real good signal because I'm under a portico, and I don't have a clear signal on the repeater.
Did hear a little bit of static, but nothing else. Audio is great. I'm not doing much anything, dude. We did our little bit of running around yesterday to get our drugs and pick up some groceries and had to do a couple of little things. We try to, when we go out, we try to get it all done at one time. That way we won't have to go out again for a couple of days. But I hope she gets to feeling better. It takes a while to get over pneumonia, no matter, you know, whether you're, it just takes something out that really makes you very, very weak. So she never had to go to the hospital, didn't have to take any oxygen or anything like that, David?
So they, she didn't have to go to the hospital. I'm pulling up here so my signal changes, that's why I'm...
Sounding great right now.
Just a minute, Jerry, KB4CBA. Okay, I'm back, KB4CBA.
I hope she does better in 40JC Friday. Does she work, David, or she, or are you both retired?
I got retired. She was she was working for Prisma Health, and they decided they didn't need her anymore. It took five ladies, and they had to hire a sixth one to take all of her workload. That's how much work she was doing. What's a dumb, you know, I won't say the word on the air, but anyway. So they kind of cut their nose off to spite their face on that one. I mean, I don't really know their justification there, because she was doing a fantastic job. But anyway, we don't need the money, so the heck with them. The only thing it messed up was her insurance. She's not old enough to get Medicare yet, so, you know, she's going to pay for insurance, but big deal.
For that cutback thing, they cut my job out in 2000, and then I was basically laid off. I'd never been long laid off in my life before, but I was basically on going unemployment, just enjoying the heck out of everything, doing whatever I wanted to do. And when they cut my job out, the other guy that was working with me was going out on his own, and I don't think they knew it, and I didn't tell them. So I went back in to do some insurance stuff or something, and they kind of groveled around a little bit and said, you know, asked me if I'd be interested in coming back, and I said, yeah, sure, I guess so. And I came back with a better deal than I had when I left. I was out of work for about 5 months, but I'll be honest with you, I enjoyed that 5 months, and then they did it again in 2008. And that time I stayed retired and just had to deal with insurance. I mean, insurance was expensive, but my wife didn't work either. Insurance was expensive for us, but I'll be honest with you, that's time I thoroughly enjoyed it. I probably just feel kind of guilty about it, but so basically I was retired at 58. So I got about an eight-year jump on everybody else. But I've enjoyed it, and, you know, like I said, we didn't, you know, the money would have been nice. We didn't have to have it, though.
CBA. Well, the Lord's been good to us. I tell you, I mean, we could be, you know, hurting for money, and, you know, I could still work. It's not like I can't work, but it's nice not having to. And my wife may have to go back just to, or she may go back just to get, you know, insurance until she's old enough to, you know, get Medicare. But like I said, you know, she doesn't have to, so. It's nice not having to work. As you know, I play tennis a lot and do a few other things and help out my mother-in-law. She's always needs something done around the house there, and my kids and that kind of thing. So, but we can, you know, if we want to take off and do something, we can. And so it's kind of nice.
After I retired, for at least the first 6 or 7 years, this year has been very odd. Our grandkids are getting a little older, but you know, we haven't been able to spend any time with them to amount to anything. But we were going over to Greenville about 3 times a week and picking them up from school in the afternoon and keeping them while the parents were working a little later in the evening. But after I was retired for a while, I realized that sometimes my dad always told me when one door closes, another one opens, and you know, I had to take care of my mother, was in bad health, and I had to take care of her, and both my wife's parents got in bad health too, and I had to help them out. So it was just one of those things. I think we did what we needed to do, but we've been very fortunate, and that's just one of those things. You know, when you do the right thing, sometimes good things happen, and sometimes they don't. But you know, with us, you know, good things happen, and we were able to maintain a decent lifestyle and really enjoyed it. I mean, when I was working now after being retired, I don't see how in the world I found time to work.
People say say that, and I'm kind of the same way. I could take you through the series of events that happened, but it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you know, when I quit working, then my parents needed me, and then my stepmother wound up dying, and then my dad went into assisted living, and so, you know, it worked out good because I wouldn't have been able to help either one of them. I drove them around for 2 years because neither one of them could drive. And the funny thing was my stepmother thought she could drive. That was really scary because she had a valid driver's license, but she couldn't drive. She had dementia, and, you know, and so I had to drive everywhere, and every time we got in the car, I can drive. I got so sick of hearing that, but, you know, you just kind of ignore it and go on. But anyway, she passed away, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
Situation to mine, actually, my dad passed away in 98, and my mother stayed by herself until the last couple of years of her life. She passed away in 2010, but she had a heart attack in, I think, 2003, and the doctors in Arnold wouldn't do anything with her, and I called her cardiologist who had done an angioplasty back in the 80s for her, and I called him up. He's the head of cardiology at Emory, and I've known him for years. And I called him up. He said, sure, we'll do it. We'll bring her out here. And I took her out to Emory, and they did that. And he just told me, he said, she's one tough old bird, so I like it to you. She had about 90% blockage, but she lived until 2010, and she was 97. She had some help probably the last year or so of her life, but other than that, her mind was still sharp. And both my wife's parents, my wife's mother had renal cell cancer. She developed it back in around 2005, so we were driving her back and forth to Emory and places like that, and her dad developed Alzheimer's a little bit later than that, so he won't give up those car keys either, David. I mean, he said, I can drive. He'd come home. he ain't got really bad. It's just he'd come home and had the mirrors knocked off and stuff like he'd hit a mailbox or two on the way home. And we finally, he was one of these guys. He worked on cars all the time, so you couldn't take a battery out. You couldn't fool him. He'd go out there and put it back in if you did. We finally talked him out of it. But, man, I tell you one thing, those getting those keys away from him, that's one of the toughest things in the world to do.
What we did was we took both of them to the Center for Success in Aging, and we took them on the premise that, you know, my dad needed to be looked at, but, you know, while my stepmother was there, they said, well, let's take a look at you, and so they started asking her questions and talking about her, you know, we need to take you on a driving test, and she said, okay, well, you know, I'll do that, and they said, now we're going to take you out, you know, downtown, and then we're going to get you on 385, and then we're going to get you on 85, and then we'll, you know, come back around to, you know, where they started. And she said, well, I can't do that. She said, well, if you can't do that, then you can't drive. So they took her keys away. They took her, you know, keys away from her and did the dirty work there so that we didn't have to pry them out of her hand or something. And so they were the bad guys there, and that worked out good. And my dad, he delivered Meals on Wheels after he retired for 24 years, and he would have kept doing it, but his eyes were bad. He's had bad eyes all his life, and he could only see out of one, and it had, and he had poor vision out of it. And he said one day he came up on a traffic light, and he couldn't tell if it was green or red until he got right up on it. And he said, I just came home and hung the keys up, and that really surprised the heck out of me. But he knew, you know, it was time to quit, and he could have kept doing it. At that time, my stepmother could drive, and I wish she would have, driven him around and let him continue his route, but because he wanted to do it, but she wouldn't do it.
Rural mail carrier for 37 years, and he did the similar things with the church and stayed real active until he had developed macular degeneration in one of his eyes, and the other one wouldn't be good either. And that's what slowed him down until he developed cancer, diagnosed with cancer. But he was real active like that too, and he was always a good driver. Now my mother, though, she was never a really good driver, and the last time she took my grandson, he was probably in his 20s, I guess. The last time she drove him around somewhere, he came back home and he said, Dad, that's an experience I don't want to repeat. He said, you just got out in the middle of the road and just turned left. I just got out in the road, stopped in the middle of the road and turned left instead of making a smooth turn. I told her, I said, she needs to have one of those little things like they used to put on bikes, one of those bike flags to warn people she's coming.
You remember when cars had curb sealers on them? You remember those? Remember it was the 50s, 60s, somewhere around in there. You see cars with curb sealers on them, and they weren't for bad drivers. They were just, you know, so you didn't rub up against the curb, and you know, people didn't want to skin up their rims or whatever. And, of course, back then, we really didn't have rims. They had hubcaps, or technical term is wheel covers. And everybody calls them hubcaps, but anyway. But my stepmother, they were coming over to our house at Traverse Rest from Taylor's. And I don't know, do you know where Roeford Road is, right above Furman?
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
They were coming up Roeford Road. She was driving, and went over the Swamp Rabbit Trail, and were coming up to the light there at White Horse Road. And that's a 6-lane road, and yeah, you know, the speed limit's 50, and people go like 70. And this tractor trailers, I mean, galore. I mean, this car is, I mean, that car, you know, it's a heavily traveled road. And she just went flying through that intersection. And the light was red, and she was supposed to turn right there, actually, but she just went flying through it. And praise God, nobody was there. I mean, they could have been killed. And finally, after she went through it, my dad said something, and of course they had to turn around. But, you know, I mean, that's just that's the way she did. And can you imagine? I mean, my goodness.
Good Lord looks after some of us, because we need help every once in a while. I don't remember what's quite like that, but I do know that my grandson said he wouldn't ride with her anymore. She never did drive very fast, and she didn't run any traffic lights. She was tiny. She probably weighed 90 pounds soaking wet, and she was driving a Sabre. And yeah, this is back in, this must have been 86 or 87, 88, LeSabre. Those things are like, you know, Titanics now. But you're talking about curb feelers. I feel like I need them every once in a while. My cord, my dead gum thing's so low and the tires are such low profile tires, I'm scared I'm going to run up on the curb and they never make the, at least here in Anderson, all the curves are just, they just make them so close, you don't have any turning radius at all on them.
I mean, well, I guess the worst place is going, like going through a drive-thru at some of these places. They don't make them real car-friendly. I mean, they're so, the turns are tight and the curves stick out in the wrong places, and, you know, it's easy to skin up a rim. And, you know, these days, I mean, you got some expensive rims on cars, and, you know, you don't want to scratch them all up, at least I don't. And but that's usually, if I'm going to hit something, I try my best to avoid doing that. But I, with this COVID, I find myself driving through a lot more drive-thrus. Because, you know, nobody eats out anymore. You can't prove that by looking at Texas Roadhouse. We live right here at Texas Roadhouse, and they must be giving the food away or something. I don't know. People are piled in there all the time, but that's got to be a COVID factory.
Anderson is the same way. It's packed, and Olive Garden and all the other ones are too, that are open. But I don't know what it is. I was so used to driving a shorter wheelbase car, and this Accord is so long and low. I've been driving I bought a Subaru, been driving a Subaru Forester for 6 or 7 years. I never owned one. I liked it, but I didn't like the all-wheel drive. It just ate tires up like nobody's business. And having to drive to Greenville to have it surface was a pain, but then I could just run over curbs with that thing. It sits so high off the ground. And before then I drove a company car, so I wasn't really paying that much attention, but now I've got a pretty decent car. But it's so low to the ground, I'm afraid it's got the flared wheel or flared stuff up under it and all that sort of thing, and I'm scared I'm gonna run in a hole or hit a curb going around. I've done it a time or two, but I hadn't scuffed the wheels up yet. But it's been closer time or two. There's one area in particular I just avoid it rather than go there, because there's no more scuff it up pretty bad. But I just can't tell where I am. It's got a long hood and it sits down, so I sit down so low and I can't see over the hood very well, so I'm not real sure where the nose of the car is.
Yeah, I drive a Mustang and it sits down pretty low in it. And mine has a fake hood scoop on it. So you can't see the end of the hood, and that thing makes things difficult every now and then. But anyway, I'm thinking about I might wait a year and let the first year model year come out, the second year model come out, but I'm thinking about getting one of these new Broncos they're coming out with. I've always liked the Broncos, and the new ones look pretty cool. I've been looking at them online with just on FordMotorCompany.com, but the one I want, it's not going to come out until I think July, and you're going to pay sticker for it, because people are ordering those things and paying some money down up front and all that, so. You know, I wanna have a little dickering room, you know, when I buy it. So I might wait another year.
When Mazda, came out with the Miatas and the Chrysler and those PT Cruisers and all those things, they were getting $5,000 above sticker for some of those things. I said they ain't worth $5,000 above sticker. And I've seen the same thing with some of the Mustangs, some of the harder ones to get, and new Corvettes, and seen some of those go for $5,000, even $10,000 above sticker. It's just one of those supply and demand things. I said, I don't really need one, man. I'd pay above sticker for it. I said, I'd like to get a little bit, I'd like you, I might have a little bit of breathing room on it if I bought another car. If it's in that much demand, I'd just wait or either do without one or the other. N4DJC for ID.
I was just dragging my feet there in case somebody wanted to jump in. I'm sitting here in the driveway. I guess I'll go on inside and see if my wife needs anything. I'm still playing nurse, which I certainly don't mind because she helped me out. We had to quarantine for a while before she found out she had it, because I got it first. But anyway, I'm glad both of us are doing better. Well, you take care of yourself and behave, and I guess I'll jump out of here for a while. I'll say 73s and I'll stick around for your final. But have a good one. Enjoy this beautiful day.
You take care of each other now, and hopefully everything, hope she gets to feeling better. So you have a good afternoon. Enjoy talking with you as usual. N4DJC clear.